The United States-Mexico-Canada agreement was unveiled this week as the new three-way deal to replace NAFTA. President Trump says it's a big win for the United States, especially in sectors like farming and manufacturing. There's another industry with a big stake in the deal that's not getting as much attention, and that's technology. Heather Timmons is the White House correspondent for Quartz. She recently wrote about what the new deal means for tech companies like Facebook and Google. Heather, welcome to Central Time.
Hi, how are you?
Well, good. Well, I will admit I hadn't really thought about this. You know, I know there aren't tariffs on my Facebook posts if somebody in Canada reads them, but there are key points in this new agreement between the three countries that affect technology. Can you talk about that?
Sure. The deal, what the deal does is it essentially replicates language that is already in the U.S. Communications Decency Act. And this is language that was written into it in 1996, back when the internet was sort of, you know, this bold new world and these companies that were starting up were tiny startups without much money. And what it did is it protected them from libel. It protected them from being responsible for the content that was on their sites. So if they're distributing, you know, if one of their users is putting something up that says something bad about someone else, you can't go and sue Facebook. And as these companies got bigger and bigger and bigger, this law didn't change at all. So that's still how it is. You know, there's some lawsuits right now against Alex Jones, a conspiracy theorist. Those lawsuits are going right after his company. None of them go after Facebook or Twitter or YouTube or any of the ways that he spread the lies that he spread, because this law protects them. And so now that it's written into NAFTA, this law will also, you know, these companies will also be protected in Canada and Mexico for this kind of liability.
So previously, without this exemption, it might be that if somebody had posted something libelous on Facebook in the United States, potentially somebody in Canada could sue both the person who spread the libel and Facebook for hosting it. Would that have been a possibility?
I think it would depend on exactly what they were posting and who it affected. I think it would have to affect someone in Canada for them to be able to sue for that. But what it does is it gives them sort of blanket protection. Another example for is that Amazon will, in some cases, no longer be liable for counterfeit products. It won't be liable for counterfeit products that are on its site that are put on by a third party. So if there's a third party that's putting something on there and it's actually not really a Gucci bag, let's say, or whatever it is, you need to go after the third party as a consumer. And Amazon can say, you know, because I'm a publisher and I'm an intermediary here, I don't actually have responsibility for this.
Did we see the Googles and Amazons and Facebooks of the world lobbying during the process of negotiation of this new NAFTA? Some people are calling it the U.S. MCA.
Yeah, they have spent just a ridiculous amount of money down here in Washington in the past 18 months. And it has been on all different kinds of things. And it's sort of hard to tell exactly what they spend their money on. They have to declare what they're talking about when the senators file and they say, you know, I sat down and I talked with a lobbyist and they came from here and this is what we talked about. So you can see little bits and pieces of where they have talked about NAFTA. They have spent billions and billions. That has been, you know, partially for this, and also because there's a big push, especially after the 2016 election, to try to regulate these companies more. You know, everybody has a sense that they've grown really big and really powerful, and they are responsible for the distribution of so much of our news, and this is where we get so much of our news from, and there is really no, you know, regulator that looks at them.
So these companies had an interest in saying, we don't want to be regulated by Washington in particular. We also don't want to find ourselves in a situation where an international trade agreement subjects us to new kinds of regulation.
Exactly. And, you know, you can see there's very country-specific regulation that affects them. Germany is such a good example because it is illegal in Germany, for example, to say that the Holocaust never happened. And so these companies, Twitter, Facebook, spend money to make sure that if somebody puts something like that up, they take it down and maybe they punish the user or they, you know, do some sort of strike against them. So they will, you know, country by country, they will spend money and they will devote resources to making sure they're following the laws of those countries. And so when you get a big pan deal like this that covers all of North America, that makes it easier for them.
Talking to Heather Timmons, White House correspondent for Quartz, about how the new deal, the one that replaces NAFTA, this United States-Mexico-Canada agreement, affects big technology companies. And Heather, this key issue that you wrote about was this libel thing where a tech company couldn't be sued for someone else posting something on their site that's libelous. But there are some exceptions in liability for things that these companies host. Can you talk about that? FOSTA was something I hadn't heard of before.
Yeah, and this is a really hard-fought piece of legislation, and it's sort of, it is one of these things that it makes sense if you think about it on either side. You can see both sides of it, but what the legislation does do is give these companies liability for anything that's promoting prostitution or sex trafficking on their sites. And so they have to spend money again and go and look through and see what their users are putting up and take down stuff and punish users if they're doing that. And so it's a very specific, it is prostitution related, sex trafficking related. The internet companies say that they think that is way too broad. Once they consider it a slippery slope, once you start holding them responsible for some things on their site, then the next step is more censorship.
Right. The analogy, I guess, would be you wouldn't charge the phone company if their phone lines were used for purposes of sexual solicitation, right? Is that kind of the analogy that's made here in defense of the tech companies?
Yeah, that's a good analogy. You know, these guys like to say we're not publishers. We're not responsible for what's published on our platform. We're just sort of distributors. And so, yes, if you think of it like a phone line, you know, if you're running a sex chat line, it's not AT&T's fault necessarily.
But ultimately, their arguments fall short. What were some of the arguments from the government and others who favored that kind of restriction?
Well, I think that their biggest argument really was, and there were the Congress people that put this bill through, you know, had some supporters and some family members who had relatives that had been victimized or even killed by sex traffickers. So there was some really powerful testimony of parents getting up and saying, this is what happened to my child. And it all happened through, you know, the back pages or some other website, which was enabled by these companies. And had there not been this internet, had the internet not spread this information around, this may have never happened to my child. And so that was, you know, what they were able to do. And it can come, you know, it's very different than sort of a newspaper with a couple pages on the back when you've got something that comes right into your home and it's on your phone and, you know, your kids can see it and use it all the time.
So that's in U.S. law, that liability for, say, Facebook, if they hosted this kind of information. How did that all play out in the U.S.-Mexico-Canada agreement?
You know, they put a specific carve out in this for the U.S. laws, SESTA and FOSTA, they're called, so that they will still stand in the U.S. Canada does not have a similar law, although prostitution is not legal there. In Mexico, I think it's about 13 of the states out of the 30-something states, prostitution is legal. So I don't, you know, it's hard to say how this all sort of shakes out and what I think that, you know, these countries can opt into, you know, and write, they'll obviously be writing their own laws about internet prostitution, what is and isn't legal. So this doesn't really dictate, you know, what they need to do there.
As you mentioned, NAFTA came about in the 90s when the internet was just sort of this vague notion of what it was going to be. NAFTA didn't really do much on any of these kind of tech issues, did it?
Yeah. No, this the Section 230, which is the U.S. law, that was written in the 1990s. NAFTA itself had very little to do with the internet. And so, you know, it is a good thing. I mean, this is NAFTA needed to be updated. It really did need to happen. And it is good that it has happened.
So we've talked a lot about this NAFTA renegotiation here. And I'll say we've talked a lot about dairy and metals and cars and things like that. This is the first time we've talked about these technology regulations. Did you get a sense in the negotiations that these were kind of an afterthought for negotiators after all that other stuff, the tangible stuff?
Yeah, I think so. I think for a lot of people, they were focused on the cheese, as you said, you know, or the steel
well,
or
Wisconsin,
the autos.
Sure.
Well, yeah. And, you know, and Trump was focused on the cheese. You know, the dairy was really, really, really front of mind for him, even though the negotiation that they finally did work out, you know, they moved the needle just a tiny, tiny percentage. So, yeah, this was probably not front of mind at all, which is why when you have an industry like the tech industry that's spending billions of dollars on lobbying, they wind up with, you know, in this case, this is sort of exactly what they wanted. There wasn't much pushback either way, and it wasn't really front of mind for anyone.
And as we wrap up, Heather, this isn't quite a done deal yet. Legislatures, Congress has to weigh in on this, legislatures in Canada and Mexico too. Is there any, do you expect any kind of 11th hour bargaining or lobbying on these issues we're talking about?
You know, we heard recently after we put this story out from one of the attorneys that's been suing Facebook for allowing employers to discriminate because of the way their ad tools, you know, work. And so you might hear some people saying this needs to be, you know, a little bit less broad. It's hard to figure out what kind of traction that might get. I think that, you know, at this point, when we've gone back and forth negotiating NAFTA negotiations for so long, people in Congress are sort of at the point where they're like, phew, thank goodness this is all done, you know, and we've still got this whole China trade war going on. And I don't expect this to get a huge amount of traction now if someone wants to push back.
Heather, thanks a lot for joining us today.
All right. Thank you.
That's Heather Timmons, White House correspondent for Quartz. She was with us to talk about how big technology did under this new a replacement for NAFTA, the United States-Mexico-Canada agreement.